All right, good.
Okay, Nick, would you please take the roll?
All right. Back in session at 4:26, roll call. Chris Gans.
Present.
John Burr.
Present.
Robin Schombach.
Here.
Bill Viner.
Here.
Eric Barrett.
Present.
Fred Ronstadt.
Here.
Michael Becker.
Here.
And Faye Tom.
Here.
Thank you, Nick. Next on the agenda is the preliminary staff remarks. Nick, is that you?
Yeah, so I'll go over just the project summary, then I'll add a few things. We've got the design professional who's providing comments now as well, so he can also address things that he saw. The project is proposing a combination of retail, residential, and parking to the southern end of 4th Avenue and includes amenities such as a pool deck, outdoor kitchen, seating areas, fitness rooms, and a community garden. The PAD specifically calls out street activation as a required design component, and the project is proposing to achieve this through 4,500 square feet of retail along the 4th Avenue corridor. The proposal includes 323 residential units that will be supported by 227 parking spaces, plus an additional 32 parking spaces for public use. And as I mentioned, we received Faye Tom's design professional recommendation just prior to the meeting. Faye, I don't know if you want to get into your findings, but each member of the DRC has been provided a hard copy of his recommendation.
And I would just say as well from staff, just we went over this with the courtesy review, but just as a reminder, this is a little bit different design review purview for the committee than typical infill incentive district projects. So in this case, it was a condition of the planned area development that it be reviewed by this committee. And the design standards are unique to this project, and they were tailored to this site at the time that the planned area development was established and approved by mayor and council. So Faye based his design review on those specific design standards.
And we all got copies of those in our packet in terms of the PAD.
Mm-hmm. So. I have a question. It's one of the purviews in the PAD. Do we also have to approve the design guidelines per se as a separate motion before we comment on this?
The design guidelines. You mean the design guidelines that are
in the PAD?
I don't believe so. I think that was adopted as part of the planned area development.
One of the things it says in the PAD, it says that IID DRC's authority shall include the following, which is to review and approve any design guidelines prepared for development. Mm-hmm.
So I would need to check, but I think that refers to cases where, say, a project is done by two phases. Sometimes development standards are established for an entire area. So I think that's sort of in the case that there are design standards or design guidelines for an area. So other PADs that we've done sometimes include phase projects where design standards are adopted at the outset for the entire project, but then it's built over time. This is a little bit different because there's really just one project as part of this PAD.
Would you agree, Sarah?
Yes, and I think oftentimes PADs are developed. I mean, Sarah Magason with the entitlement section, work with John Beal, who's out today, but oftentimes the entitlement and the PAD process will be so far in the past from when the development actually happens, and so they'll create design guidelines later on, and that's usually when those would need to be approved. But since in this case they're already included with the PAD and it's gone through its approval process, you just have to review it against those.
So, yeah, sorry, I apologize. So Sarah Magason is here from the entitlement section, as well as Elisa Hamlin, who has reviewed the development package. In case there's any questions about that site plan and some of the technical requirements, Elisa can speak to those. And we also had Jody Brown, our historic preservation officer. I think she might have ducked out, yeah. But as you know, Michael Becker is on the committee to review this project as a representative of Plans Review Subcommittee.
So, Dean, the next on the agenda is, if you have anything to add to your presentation?
I'd like to get to the interactive part. Oh, sorry, my friend.
Faye Tom's
up. Yeah. Well, Faye is after the project presentation on the agenda. So
I have nothing further to add. Anything that came up in our discussions, we'll make it interactive and respond at that time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, well, as Corin said, we review both the PID and the IID items. I would say in general, it looks pretty good. There are a few items that we didn't find in the in your design package. And those include like the shade calculations. I think you show a bunch of shading throughout the year, but we're only interested in one at a certain time. That's like 2 o'clock on June 21st. And we're more interested in the percentage of shade that's provided. The other one is document here. You talk about rain water runoff, but there was nothing in there about it.
Right. So we had a conversation when we were together last time, and what essentially what's happening, we're working with the city, with Elisa and her team, to resolve that outside this. But it is something that we're continuing to resolve. It does not impact the design, but we are not taking all our water and running it into the street, if that's a concern, which it is.
It seems like the concern just from the neighborhood is more the dirty water, you know, not so much the rain water. So.
Well, sure. I mean, any water that's in our garage is going to be captured and then controlled outflow and be clean, filtered. But then the tower water will be through a stormwater system. So we're working with
Building Services.
Building Services, I think, is the term.
And the Grenier Engineering. Working that outfit.
Right. Okay.
So that is, I would say that it's not, while it is an important part of the design solution overall, it's not part of an aesthetic standpoint. And so we would ask that this design committee will let us work that, coming out of this meeting, let us work that out with the city, because the development plan will not be approved until that's resolved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then two other things that we didn't see was the dropping of the retail parking went from 35 to 32.
I can address that thing. Yeah. And that's the PID.
Could you introduce yourself?
Sure. Excuse me. Tom Warren. Worked with the neighborhood and the owners of the property for the PID. And I'm working with Opus on their final entitlements. But as John and Fred and Chris can, you know, we're in a lot, most of those meetings, the original PAD called for up to 10,000 square feet of space and 35, 36 parking spots. The retail has been reduced 55%, and the parking has been reduced about 8%. So there's actually much more parking per square foot. And also, then we did the ingress and egress of the parking for the merchants, because most people will be coming down 4th Avenue, or they'll maybe turn into Herbert off of 8th, but if they're coming to shop and they're coming from the north, they probably won't. And it'd be a right in, and then they can go and park separate, and then the parking would be separated from the residential parking.
Right. So we're parked at 7.8 per thousand, which is at a restaurant load. And just to clarify,
city code is much, much higher if you're on the east side. So
yeah,
we're much higher.
And so we're providing a conservative amount of parking based on, let's say, norms of 5 per thousand, which would be a normal retail requirement.
Well, here it's 3. But what we're doing is basically, as Fred did say, because it worked closely with the merchants on that. That was a concern, and I actually gave a presentation to the Merchants Association. They have been working with the city for, I can almost say now, more than a decades to get more parking on 4th Avenue. And so this, the code actually required 0 parking, none, even if we built 10,000 feet, and we put in the PAP so that we could provide public parking for that, you know, for the merchants, not just the 4,500 feet, because it's much more.
That's an important definition here.
Yeah.
Is that
it's for the
greater community. Merchants. It's not just for our tenants.
And that was work with Steve Gashachek's office and also Fred and the Merchants Association, the merchants. So we really reduced it 55% on the space that was allowed, and we reduced the parking itself by about 8%.
So this truly is public parking for the community.
Okay. The other thing is
this space here, these 32 spaces here are at large to the public.
Yeah, you can't mix it with residential.
Yeah, so they're bifurcated. And of course, when the PAD was contemplated, it just talked about parking, and what we've done is we've made dedicated public parking, which I think is a benefit overall to the project.
Okay. The final thing was the open space.
Are you comfortable with that response, by the way? I just want to make sure that
just
we're...
put it in writing so I can have someone back me up. The open space calculation, I look and I couldn't find it. I don't know if it's hidden somewhere in there.
I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, that's fine. Just look into it. And then I just wanted to address the elevation on Stevens, the south elevation. Mm-hmm. I think you guys, you know, did a really nice job there with the changes in the artwork and putting smaller windows in.
Yeah, we're happy with how that came in as well. Thank you.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, that's all I had.
Any questions for Fred?
I think just a correction. In the agenda it says 227 spaces, but it's clearly 226. There was a reduction for the cutout, so that means...
We lost one. I think we'll probably find that space again when we refine the design. I mean, that's what's called out in the requirements.
But it did go down one since 3 weeks.
Yes, sir.
And this was covered last time, but the retail parking or the public parking, was it going to be metered spaces in the garage?
Most likely they'll be, like anywhere else in the city, you pay for parking on an hourly basis, and we would imagine this would be the same.
So that, in essence, would restrict the residents from parking there long-term?
Right. And I would imagine there would be a sign that says no residential parking. I mean, we will make that pretty clear.
Also, there's discussions going on with Park Tucson. So, you know, right now they're monitoring that lot in front of O'Malley's. Used to be full at 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't one space available because it was free parking. Then once the O'Malley's closed and everything got boarded up, Park Tucson, AG myself, took over. And now, I counted the other day, driving by on purpose, Fred's there all the time, but there were like eight cars because you have to pay for the parking. So it showed exact demand of what's going on. That, you know, so that's good. Probably, there are discussions going on with Park Tucson, you know, be separate and metered. And the street now is metered for that.
Dean, if you find yourself under parked, would you be pursuing a shared parking agreement with the city?
No, I don't believe so. We believe we're properly parked, and we might think we're a little bit heavy on parking at this time for our residents. And we went through a very specific analysis. If you remember, just to backtrack here a little bit, because I think there's some concern about the parking. I've heard some folks say you've got too much parking, some not enough. The PAD was originally one per unit, and we did an evaluation, and we have quite a bit of experience with this on other projects around the country. And through our analysis, we determined that 0.7 was reasonable. The PAD allows us to go to a 0.5. We didn't think that was a little too aggressive. And so this 0.7, because think about all the different ways we can get around town. We're a transit-oriented development. We have a rail station right outside our front door. We have rideshare on the corner. We have bikes for public and residences. We have over 450 bikes on property.
Zip cars.
And then a zip car space inside our garage we will have as well. Not to mention, I know how many of you love scooters, but there are scooters as well. And last time I checked, walking's still allowed. So there's a lot of different ways to get around the city. And we feel like 0.7 is exactly right on.
If I may, I'd like to follow up on the comment from Faye regarding the open space calculation. It is an outstanding item on their development package review that we're going to require some additional information as part of that. So that will be within our purview before we finalize the DP.
Okay. Is that open space both public and to the actual?
There's some flexibility in the pad about where the open space can be located. So some of it can be at the ground level, some of it's up at the pool deck. So it is an item that we're tracking to make sure it meets the requirements of the pad.
And obviously we'll comply to that.
Do you have any estimate of where you think you are? It's 7,300 square feet plus 30 per unit. So
I believe we're more than fine, but we're going to double check and make sure.
Questions? Comments? They keep it under 2 hours, John.
Okay. I've got all sorts of things. One, I appreciate what you've done with Stephen's thing. You said it would neck down a little bit, that one pinch point is slightly less than 6 feet, but it'd be more than 4 feet at that point.
It's 5'3¾" or something like that.
Okay. But that's the only place where it's less than 6 feet.
Exactly at the corner of the column, but it increases.
And I can't tell because the elevations are slightly different. Some show the jewel screen wall slightly behind the column, some show it flush with this column,
behind
and
the
some
column.
Show it's behind the column. Okay.
Just wanted to maximize the width of the sidewalk.
Okay. This is a picky point I didn't bring up before. I find it very hard that two small toilets on your amenities deck are going to be reasonable for, I don't know, 600 people going to a pool.
We chatted about this a little bit. The plan is representative of how the building will be used, the amenity spaces, the regional spaces. Our building will be code compliant as it relates to plumbing. And so it's saying, yeah, there's bathrooms on that level. We'll make sure there's the right amount based on code.
I wasn't too concerned about the solar. I was more interested about how shade calculations were for all the pedestrians around the way. Can you walk me through the depth of the Stevens Avenue shade pedestrian screening? It looks like they're kind of slatted rather than solid features.
It's representative. We're going to study them with the sun angles and angle them or do what we have to do to maximize shade. We talked about this just even yesterday about whether it wanted to be solid or to be able to let air through so we're not capturing water. And so, but the intent is that it does provide shade. As we study that further, we may end up making it more solid. But we're trying to keep, as I mentioned before, this architecture around the building the same. But our intent is that they would be in a way that it will let minimal light through it, if any at all.
Do you think the globe lights along Stevens would provide enough pedestrian lighting in that area, or are you planning on including
I believe they will. And there's lighting across the street. I mean, there's so close. There's other lighting that's coming into the space from next door, I believe. Yes, and that's why we spread them out.
Apparently, the parking lot is very dark at night. There is pedestrian lighting along 4th, but there isn't any on 8th. There isn't any on Stevens.
Well, we'll also
at night when things are shut down, that there's nothing to be in light.
So there's a ton of light coming out of here. It's a service part of the building. Then from here to here, the sconces are doing the work. And then in here, there's soffit lighting over this entrance. I would say that if anything, we might need a wall pack or something along here. There'll be one here because of this exit that's required by code. We might be a little bit light there, but doing our photometrics, we're going to make sure we have the proper light there.
And you might possibly include a soffit below the residential portion in the cutout notches as well. And there's two.
Yeah, this is actually covered above.
So you could have a soffit
light there as well.
Correct.
Yeah, that would actually make a lot of sense, is that let's get lights integrated into the horizontal plane and dropping light in.
For that, do you think the jewel light in the parking garage will be enough to light the 8th Street?
I think there's also lighting there on the street. We have to look at that again and that photometrics and make sure there's lighting. I would say that's more ambiance lighting than it is lighting.
And the lighting directly from the sidewalk into the building's entrance, I didn't see any lighting in that direction.
This one here?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about this.
What will that look like at night for residents?
Pedestrian scale lighting, 12-foot fixtures, 12-foot high fixtures that are lighting a continuous path.
Okay. Just wanted to cover that because
And here too, they run here. They're on our civil plan, but they run here and here. I just didn't get them on
the plan. So your intention is perimeter lighting all the way
around? Yeah, the PAV talks about this 12-foot and 15-foot pedestrian path running through our site, so this is all lit.
Hey John, just to interject on Stevens, there's also a lot of light from Spencer Plaza, which is that little park, and the bus barn, some is all lit. So there's light coming from that side as well.
Okay. So just to tack on, I appreciate, I covered this on Friday, that you're doing the canopy on Stevens. Any plans to do anything on the west side, which is going to be the most exposed area?
Are you speaking of this short distance here?
Yes.
Well, here the sidewalk moves away from the building. I don't know that there's going to be effective there. That's why we've added this tree canopy, as much as we can get in there.
it's quite a unique situation, but I think for that short distance, the answer is no, we don't have canopies at this location. It just wouldn't be effective because of the curve, and the building's straight, and the building street is curved. But we've added a tremendous amount along Stevens proper.
I can keep going. The pad says that we can add specific further requirements. One is vehicular reduction that would include the discussion on transit passes that I know Chris brought up last time. So on and so forth to make sure that there's some plan to make sure that people don't get parking spaces or can't afford them in the space and do have access to traffic.
We're excited about that opportunity as well. We talked about even just 2 hours ago in 10, so we want that. We're looking forward to getting that bolt passed.
We also can require a noise mitigation plan, and that ties into the 10 o'clock closing. Both the pool deck and the balconies, and which also leads to another thing that we're allowed to add in, and that would be a behavior management plan. I know I talked with you a little bit last week. You said you might bring us some samples.
Let me speak to that.
Work through what you think
first of all,
behavior management.
So first of all, this is not a, we absolutely will have a behavior management plan. This is not a student housing project. Let me just restate that. This is a multifamily dwelling that happens to be some halfway between a downtown and a university. There may be students that live here, but to think that this is the union or something that's up near the gate, main gate, is we're not that. So we are, everyone can live here, right? And then, but at the same time, the comments about the amenity deck to be respectful of the neighborhood, having a 10 o'clock close on the deck is not unreasonable, and we've talked about that. And so, and then lastly, a behavior management plan. I mean, that to take that and put it in front of this review committee, we're going to have one, and most projects do have one. And so we didn't bring that with you. We talked about bringing it, but to have this proprietary document and drop it in front of everybody to scour, we didn't think it was appropriate.
I understand your concerns. The only thing that I find kind of confusing, I've been asking staff, who's going to request that and where, and does it behoove us, since it is our purview to request it, to add it as a condition? So I'm inclined to do that so that the city picks up. I don't care about its details as long as it seems reasonable.
So you're asking for a copy of that?
It would be helpful, but I want to make sure that the city is comfortable with the behavior management plan, and that, so that they can enforce any action that may be necessary that they found with other problems, which I know you're not anticipating, and that's great, but...
That'd be naive to think that things aren't going to happen, right? But we will have a plan.
It's good policy.
And it is responsible, and our property management group is very thorough. We have security on the project. People that misbehave are not going to live there. Do we need to check that box and hand a plan to the city? We can obviously do that. Maybe that's part of the development plan.
I know I'm going to ask for the vibration monitoring. There's a historic adobe to the south. That was another thing that we're allowed to do. And for the historic structures, and that's both for the demolition of the current building and construction of the major project. The rainwater harvesting, I'm happy if you work that out with the engineers, but I think it should be the type of pad requirement.
So as we're working with staff on that, what we're finding out is that we can't capture all the water that's required. So we're going to capture some of it and use it, and the rest of it we're going to have to figure out how to control outflow it into the system. It's not going to sheet into it. We're working on this real time. So again, I would ask that the design review committee know that the development plan is requiring us to resolve this, and we'll take care of it with them.
From Grenier Engineering, John, that those comments were made on the development plan going back and forth, and that the city and Grenier, the engineers, are working on two possible solutions. They haven't come to a conclusion of which one, but they're definitely working on it.
I came at our meeting 3 weeks ago with that and Chen and said, what's our status on that? We're still working through that with
the group. And the development plan won't be approved until, there's a sign off of the city engineers on it and everybody's happy. So the two parties are working pretty are not.
But I will assure you, we are not taking all the water off our building and dumping it into the streets of Laredo here. I mean, it's not going to happen, you know.
I know. I've seen that parking lot with 9 inches of water.
Right, right. That's not helpful to
us. Please put in a sump pump in your basement.
Collecting and storing it enough that you actually can use it for the landscape?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to get in different parts of the garage. So basically, to serve our community garden on the west side and our amenity deck on the east side, we're going to capture, you know, let's say, you know, 1 to 2,000 gallons in each zone, and then pump it back up and use it. Now we can't. That's not all the water that we have to capture, right? So we have cubic yards of water that we have to get rid of or hold and control outflow. So that's what we're working through with city staff.
And then the other thing that I really do still have a problem with is the revised amended circulation plan from 6/26/2019, because I really think all the residential traffic ought to go out onto Stevens at the 8th and not onto 4th. So I'm very happy you're doing right turn in and right turn only.
I'd like to talk about that holistically. Sure. Because we studied this, and the PAD had full maneuvers onto 4th Avenue, right in, right out, left in, left out, and had full maneuvers onto 8th and same, right? So essentially what we're all agreeing on in reviewing this, that it's really not a good idea to have left-ins and left-outs onto our project and out of our project onto 4th Avenue. Because you think about this, we have this object out here that's blocking line of sight. And so if somebody's trying to make a left out here and cars are coming this way, it's a bad idea, right? So, and back to my comment in the presentation, is that we are trying to energize the streetscape here with pedestrians. And if we have all that going on, it's a danger waiting to happen. We believe that right in, right out is the right amount of traffic. Whether it's the residents, people are going to go where it's easy, right? But we also know that there's 20 cars right here. And there's like 40 cars in this whole area, and they're going to do what they want to do. Now, the
you
point
mean from our neighbors?
Well, yeah, from O'Malley's.
Yeah.
They're backing into this space. Now, are we saying residents, you can't go this way, but O'Malley's, you know. So if we sign this and say right in, right out, and somebody makes a maneuver, then the citation can be issued, right? I mean, that's, you have to sign it. To shut this down completely is probably not a good idea, because we want to scatter the traffic. And if somebody wants to go downtown and make a right, they should be able to do that. That's a safe maneuver in our professional opinion. This is a safe maneuver coming in. But having people come across the street is bad. So the PAD didn't really contemplate that. That's a revision that we've made. Now, if you think about, the PAD showed full maneuvers here mid-block and still had Herbert here. What we thought was a better solution was to have a single curb cut that funnel traffic to a single location, so that across this block, there's one conflict between pedestrians and vehicles. If we have multiple curb cuts, we have multiple conditions where people might run into cars, right? Or cars might run into people. And so to take and adjust this was, we thought, a betterment to the project. And I know there's a concern about that as it relates to the minor amendment that we requested. But again, in our opinion and working with our traffic team, we thought this was an enhancement to the project. So that's kind of where we are.
And Stevens remains the same.
I mean, Stevens remains the same.
And most people leave on Stevens.
Well, I also share those concerns, which I talked to you about on Friday, that the people in O'Malley's actually have the whole next zone on the 4th Avenue, about midway through their parking lot, which they will use.
They have this guy right here.
Right.
Another curb cut.
But expecting people to not take a left turn coming east on Herbert is unrealistic. And I don't.
I'm sorry. You're talking about back here. You're back.
No, but coming out on Herbert to 4th Avenue, and expecting, even though it might be signed no left turn, that they actually will obey that. We've seen. I think neighbors have seen near large projects, whether they're student housing or not, that traffic, they don't really match what's supposed to be going on. They go about one way on a wrong way to one way street, and I think that the fact that people can go up to 8th Street and out to 4th Avenue, turn left or right, gives them the option to do that, or go over to 6th Avenue. I understand the neighbors' concerns, and I think just signing it no left turn coming out is not going to work. And I don't, does Opus intend to hold on to this property? Is it something that they're going to?
For a certain amount of time. We're not selling it to some comments as soon as we complete it.
Okay.
But at some point, it will transact like any other building. I mean, yeah. All of you own a home, and someday, you're not going to keep it forever. I mean, someday you're going to transact. Somebody's going to take it, and hopefully they'll do as good a job as you did with your building. We are an institutional-grade investor. We bring people in to buy our buildings that have the same respect for their work and their money that they've invested as we do. So that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's like, hey, you have to do one thing, and I don't have to do the same. So I just want to clear that up.
And I understand that, and we have seen many of these properties flip in the university area. And often, no one takes responsibility for the problems. And so... And I really do see this as a problem area, and it can be rectified just by ingress.
So how do we solve that? I mean, if we're saying that there's a parking spot right here, right? Yep. And if we allow no maneuvers here,
you can back in.
Why did we, you know, why is this vehicular, this 24-foot vehicular easement created in the PAD if this wasn't something that we thought would make sense? So we've modified it to a safer condition. If we're saying that we don't want anybody to come and go here, that's...
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they can enter.
Enter.
They can enter.
I see what Chris is saying. Chris, there's... John and Fred, I think you can all appreciate this. There were some very heated discussions at the time. Things are better now with the owner of O'Malley's. And that easement was a litigated easement that went on about 18, 20 years ago. In fact, I went to the law firm to go through the eight, and I'm exaggerating here, I counted literally eight file boxes of legal work. You know, it went back and forth between the lawyers. So part of that, so, you know, and I get what you're saying, I understand it completely. Part of that is that that easement had to remain because the owner of O'Malley's has a right to that easement through all the litigation that happened about 20 years ago. And so I don't know, you know, what, I'm just bringing it up, so I want to turn over every stone. We're having an open discussion. So I don't know, you know, how that, what can happen, what cannot happen. I mean, right now he can turn left out of there. His patrons can turn left, and, you know, I think it's a great idea that we don't have any left turn, you know, that's great.
But they still can't out of the parking lot further up.
They can go to the other one, right. Yeah, or if they come out. But now, but that easement and the legality of that easement, but what was recorded is...
Yeah, we have no idea what we're proposing here, whether this will be accepted by the legal body.
Yeah, but what was recorded is that easement had to stay in place and with everything, ingress, egress, the whole bit.
So just to clarify, it is an access easement between the north property and the property under question today. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it also was an easement that went for traffic going east and west that you had access to.
So the easement that O'Malley uses is going to be replaced by this 24-foot corridor, correct?
Well, that is really the present easement.
It's the present easement.
That's so, the present easement.
Oh, I thought that he said there was another way out of O'Malley's.
They have another.
There is. Chris is right on.
And is that going to be closed?
No.
No. This is over here, right, Chris?
Yeah.
To the north.
O'Malley's has a right to the easement.
They basically now use this and this. And this is what was litigated, Bill, this 24 feet, you know, 20 years ago.
But fundamentally, O'Malley's has a legal right to use that.
They have an absolute legal right.
Yeah, it's also your fire lane, I'm
assuming. It is.
That
was all part of the fire when we went.
So what can we truly control in this room, right? But what's happening there? Maybe that is something that needs to be worked out.
And I'm not saying we can strike. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the stuff, turn over the stones.
I've seen the impact in a neighborhood that's got six student housing projects, not saying, but they're all large projects, and the issues of traffic, they don't get dealt with. And the neighborhoods, whether it's Western Mercy or the other neighborhood, are left to deal with those issues. And so looking at that further ahead, trying to anticipate.
Yeah, along with it.
Can the median be extended so that you can't make a left turn?
That's what I was going
to
ask.
Do something here to block this.
Right. Let's think about that.
Yeah, you know, long time ago when we redid the main gate.
Robin had a couple.
And that's what the I'm sorry, just keep going.
Well, I was going to say, a long time ago, Gary Oaks and I worked with Luna a long time ago when the first zoning was done for the retail, not irregardless of the private dorms. But when we did that, we got the bond issue, and then we did the pork chops and all that, which really did reduce stuff going down first, going down second. And I was going to use that example as to what Bill just said. Could that median be extended where if you came out on this legal right they have now, if you came out and you extended that and then you couldn't make a left? And that's kind of what we did with Luna, you know, on the east side of Luna.
So maybe that's a way to help our cause, is to actually not violate the easement, but change the behavior, change the pattern. So that's something we can work on with the city, but, again, in this room, I don't know how much we can
do.
Oops. We can discuss that with TDOT.
Did you update your traffic study then? I guess that's one of the questions
yes.
that kind of came out.
Yeah, the traffic study was all updated.
Did you revise the traffic study with this revised parking design?
Yeah. What? No, the parking's been the, this.
No, that's
the right. This, the parking study supported the
parking. Study, parking. Supported the PAD.
Yeah, right. And
the parking
also
study does not address the current design.
It didn't.
By extension, it does, because yeah. it is.
So I guess I'm trying to understand what changed, because there's a discussion about
yeah.
something changed.
The only thing that changed is ingress and egress
sure.
off of Bay versus ingress and egress, and Herbert versus just off of Herbert. That's what changed.
Maybe I can just address it from a yeah. staff perspective, and I'm going to ask Sarah to help me if I get anything wrong. But the only change is, so both of these, this entrance and exit was contemplated in the pad, left and right, as Dean mentioned. What is new is this access point here to those 32 spaces for commercial parking. And then, as Dean mentioned, there was originally an entrance directly to the parking here. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And now we are directing all of the traffic into the residential parking garage, either to this entrance or Stevens, which nothing changed on Stevens in terms of the vehicular access.
So
did I get that right? Okay.
So we're taking
from the point of the traffic study. Hold on, excuse me. From the point of the traffic study, the circulation basically remains the same, except for now
yes.
you don't have two egresses out of off of
on
8th Street.
Right,
which actually I think is I personally think that's a betterment. I agree with you. I also think it allows for more landscaping, additional street
mm-hmm.
street pedestrian frontage, and makes it a more active use like that. I don't see how it affects this other piece whatsoever at all. And I think as far as your other idea about maybe extending the island, knowing that it's actually a transit stop,
yeah,
extending that out might solve your problem here. But honestly, this is a traffic study analysis and not really something that I think we should.
It's in the PAD, so it's worth talking about. I think this is a great comment, but suggestion.
Yes, Bill, I thought.
Whenever we were there, you know, we can't correct stupid is stupid yet. But I think we can do good signage. I would, for instance, like to see a left turn only out of the residential parking garage into the easement. I'd like to see on the, you know.
You're speaking of here.
Yes. Because that will
encourage this behavior.
Encourage that behavior. And the right turn only sign on your property on the 4th, I would encourage you to work with TDOT to see if you could extend that or at least get a no left turn sign.
Hey Ben, do we have any issue with that, of making this, just putting a sign here and saying left turn?
No.
I like it. That's a good, because we want to control, we want to have these two people do this. This public parking, which is a benefit to the merchants in the neighborhood, needs to have access. And so having this right in, right out, we think is reasonable and not a bad maneuver.
And then on the Stevens, I think it should have a right turn only sign.
Well, it kind of all you can do, right?
You are entering a pedestrian mixed use zone 5 miles per hour because it does go to a semi blind.
I like your tone.
So I think those sort of signs that are regulatory is the best we can actually achieve. But I think we ought to include that.
Can that be done also with the public parking in the garage, emergency go left when they exit?
go up to 8?
I think they just want to wind up minimize the traffic.
I guess. I don't know how. I mean, we've taken all the people and we're encouraging them to go this way, and O'Malley says free rein to do what they want. It's kind of unfortunate, but yay them.
What if Mr. Cummins was amenable to changing?
Have you met him?
I have. I have.
I haven't, but I've heard things. Yeah. So let's figure out a plan that we get all the people moving north, right, and west as much as we can. But I would ask that we not shut this down, that we allow this to be a right-in, right-out for people that are in this zone. It seems reasonable to me.
I don't think we legally have the right to.
Right, right. Back to the point. Fire lane and access and cross-access easements and all that. So I like what John said. Stevens, we'll have slow pedestrian experience. Out of our building, we'll ask people to move left and go north. And then we'll limit right turn, right in and right out. And, you know, do we put a sign in here that says, we encourage you to go west? I mean, I believe people will go the way that it works the easiest, and that will be the easiest way.
Those people want to go north, they're going to go out there.
Yeah, I mean, this road, and as we know, with the improvements that are going up here, it's a tremendous opportunity to go northwest in a very quick way.
Why did you choose to move the entrance in the northernmost garage from 8th to the central area?
These are our park on ramps. This is a very tight site.
Okay.
And to get this to function and to actually be able to put any cars in here at all, we could not have access here. So this is actually sloped. And so by taking and moving people and controlling them here and here, and the amount of cars we have, we figured that was a much better maneuver.
So it was a development constraint, essentially, why you moved it. Is
two things.
Correct?
One was development, but the other is the safety of this intersection. Having less curb cuts along 8th, we thought was a betterment.
Yeah, the curb cuts, which were allowed, but they'd be way below what we're used to, say, an East Tucson with a standard ingress and egress. You know, they would be so close, and yet you've got a pedestrian walkway. This way you have one ingress and egress, and not two quick ones.
One comment about the details page. I hate your screen. I know you're keeping people from climbing up. But at 17 feet, they can climb over that wall. Screw them.
I like it.
No, because it adds to like the jail feeling. Earlier, it was the perforated mesh that I think also limits, I know you're doing downlighting in the garage and it's directional. But I think kind of a glowing perforated screen that's more consistent with the rest of your building instead of a new element would be great. So I'd love to see.
I still want to try to maintain our openness so that we can keep our fresh air, you know, open garage detail, but
sure. Are there different varieties
of
perforated screen that block a little bit more of the light instead of
more mesh, less barbed wire.
Yeah, sort of thing. That was my detail thing that changed. So the EFS, you showed some examples. You did the graphic, and then you did the kind of carved element. We discussed all of these things, and then the first one we saw looked like, you know, fake Italian tile in a swirly pattern. What do you propose there? Is it going to have relief? Is it going to have depth? Is it going to be a color pattern?
So it will be plainer. It will not have three-dimensional quality to it. It will be it'll be color and texture would be my response to that. It requires quite a bit of study to get it right, and we're going to solve for that.
And are you amenable for the art stuff too? Have the recommendation that you work with local artist groups to determine the final, both the art wall and the other.
So here's the three places that we want to engage the community on art. One is the wall, the gateway that we talked about, and this is actually really special. This piece, we're going to work with a local artist to design that wall, which is made out of steel that's laser cut or water cut, or it's artistic. And then lastly, the community art with the students, the high school student concept back here on Stevens. Those are our zones where we want to interface.
So that is actually your proposal?
Yes, sir.
So we don't have to comment further because you're already speaking.
I believe we've, we're excited about that interaction.
And just for clarity, the special translucent material on page 15 is gone.
It is, yeah, I saw that. We removed it on one page, we missed it on that page. Yeah, that's gone.
It's no longer
fine. Correct.
I guess one final thing, do you anticipate any problems with 135-degree turn into your readjusted Stevens parking? Do you have to change the curb there or anything for that?
It's a roll-down curb, so it does provide some flexibility. What, as I mentioned in the conversation, is that we want to make the pedestrian sidewalk primary for traffic calming. They'll need to make a wider turn there, but it will not be a problem. That's why we moved that
back. Do you think the change will have any impact on your loading zone? I know there's primary loading zone down under the...
No, not at all. This actually really, this angle created a great benefit for functionality of how this works. Essentially what's happening is that because of the one-way direction, trash comes out here, it gets picked up in a forward condition, and then move in is a back in, and then unloading is here. So this triangle serves all of our loading and services for the building. Works very well. Package room, so people, you know, FedEx can come in here and drop off packages.
And you said both of those triangles are also additionally lit.
Yes. This is open to sky. This one is a soffit. And so this will be illuminated as a service area would be.
You said that the 10 p.m. wouldn't work on your pool deck. What sort of hours are you contemplating, and how do you see that interacting with 4th Avenue if loud parties do indeed happen?
Yeah, I think it's kind of ironic because we got this massive party going on in the corridor, but we got to shut down at 10 and go to bed. So it's if that's what it takes to make this residential experience.
I would say most of our properties across the country have that requirement. 10 or 11, 10 is fine.
10 is, if I may know, Chris, 10 on page 37 of the PAD.
It's called out.
It's noted.
That's
called out. That's in the zone.
We don't take exception.
I mean, theoretically, if you have a special party, you can apply for a permit and apply
for exemption. That's what you would have to do.
Right.
Because it's hard zone 10.
But that's the fact that it's a special party, there's also being managed as well. So, I mean, so it's a different.
So back to the, you know, the comment about this just being a frat house, it's not that. This is a multifamily project with people that are using this amenity. And I would imagine it's going to be respectful. I can't think this is going to be a bottle throwing contest over the side of the wall. I mean,
we're just in a really difficult position because we're approving a pad that is an entirely different zoning that has different requirements. The city doesn't know how it's going to be. It's not standard zoning that oversees all this stuff, so we're trying to make sure we check all the boxes so that there are built-in checks.
No, I appreciate that completely.
That's why I'm kind of pushing on these.
So you know, John, that includes balconies and it's spelled out too.
Yes.
Okay. It's spelled out.
So 10 o'clock.
So just one question is, actually somebody in the audience asked, I want to clarify. The egress stair from the...
I was going to bring that up if you didn't. This is an exit-only stair with no hardware on the outside, so you cannot come in this way.
And I have one final one.
Yeah, please.
Landscape. I mentioned this the last time, but a lot of your plants are perfectly reasonable in the Phoenix area, but you need to have primarily down to 15-degree freeze temperature plants. And to replace plants every 2 weeks in January during a freeze cycle is pretty stupid.
Doesn't
so
seem
I would revise that so that they are local conditions.
In 3 weeks, it didn't seem responsible to go in and massively change our landscape plan. That's comments we're bringing back. So as part of our development plan, we'll update that. I'll be calling our landscape architect and saying, why'd you do that?
I wanted to call that out again.
Yeah.
All
the
formal.
I'll write it down again.
All the digits.
Locally approved.
Right, on the list.
Don't say indigenous.
On the list.
Otherwise, you just have three actors in the jury. Okay.
Actually, if you want to work with Trees for Tucson, they've identified three species of trees that we're installing in the avenue.
Okay.
They can probably help you out with.
The city likes certain trees, yeah, yes. That makes sense.
And I mean, on the 4th Avenue frontage, they're concerned about the power lines, the rail. But certainly we want native.
And something that's more columnar so that doesn't splay out and impact the wires.
Just makes sense. Canopies.
Makes sense.
On the lake, so you talked about putting the bollards in between the trees. I like that idea as far as the pedestrian controlling traffic. I guess I don't like it from the standpoint, but I like the bollards, but I don't like the fact that there's actually at-grade planters there, because of what we've seen around any high-activity pedestrian circulation is that just gets trampled.
Because people don't respect the paths.
They walk anywhere and everywhere. So if you have...
What have you seen successful? More of, you know, just that much curb, or are we talking 18 inches, or...
I think it's got to be some kind of like raised planter to some extent, whether it's 8 inches, 12 inches, something like that. That's something you might consider.
And maybe that takes place at the bollard then.
A bollard, or you could be worse, it could be some like a fence or something like that, just to kind of control people from walking through that space. One, it controls, you know, kind of jaywalking.
Or it becomes a bench.
Spot.
Right.
But also, it's really just, if you look at like... couple of the UA projects that have gone on, and also like the playground in that area there, where people are staining and kind of waiting outside of the retail spaces, the landscape doesn't exist, and you'll be replacing it every 6 months because it's part of the requirement to maintain the landscape.
So maybe we can actually opt out the bollards and use that detail.
Well, actually, you need to be cautious with the planters. We find that people just rip them out, plant the plants.
You mean the public?
Yeah.
Like people disrespect that kind of.
Yes. Yeah. No, what I'm saying, I'm not talking about like raising the entire planter to a planter height. I'm just saying you need to get it so that people really discourage it from walking.
We're going to control the pedestrian circulation.
Yeah, this is very cynical, but I mean, we stop planting anything in the planters, or because people on the avenue we'll just rip them out.
Mm-hmm. They're literally required to. This project is required to have landscaping. So they
then
have to
put some big cactus. Big thorns.
No jumpy choice.
I think we need to do some budget.
Also,
just being realistic from experience is we love having plants and flowers and greenery.
So Fred, I think the difference is that this is our property.
Right.
We're going to maintain this and protect this, you know, versus, as you say rightly, there's a lot of shenanigans that go on here at times. But when you're here, you're in our space. And hopefully, while there is public interaction, I'm hoping that we can control that a little better. But these are good comments.
I've seen upside down views all along what's planned, too. So that stops the tramping.
I thought you were people taking use and dropping.
You shape upside down. So, you know, metal, I've seen that in cities, and it really works. And there's tons of pedestrian traffic, plants live.
Part of the idea about dollars was to help protect the area from backing up in Maui late at night, who may be compatible in this one for 2 years.
No, that's understood. Yeah. I think instead of maybe the bollards, maybe just raising the planter somewhat a little bit to. That serves the same purpose.
Sure.
If it's an extra high curve or something next to you. But again, up to you. And you brought up potentially providing a seating or something along Stephen Street. I think that's something
I thought about that on the way in this morning, because we were working on this late yesterday. And because we've got this wider throat here, this would really be a nice little place to create a little bench. And so if you're on a stroll, then you could really stop and.
I don't know if it's really benches so people aren't sleeping on it, but
I thought about that. It's like, how we put some knobbies on it or something.
Yeah, because you're talking about 150 linear feet, so it's like half a football field. You're getting someone walking along that space. So once they're on that path, there's no way getting off that path.
Right. No, I agree 100%.
Dean, when we spoke, we talked about some of your larger units, I guess 3 and 4 bedrooms, and you said that as a behavior management issue, they get rented by the bedroom. Is that correct?
So a question I have for staff then.
Let's clarify that. There's no rent by the.
There's not?
I thought we could do
rent by the. No. This is a conventional market rate rent by the unit.
So a four bedroom is rented to four different people? Is that how it goes?
No.
No.
All right, so I misspoke on that, Chris. Ben's correcting me. It's one lease.
One lease. Okay.
Only by the unit.
Yeah.
Okay,
I missed
that.
Okay. It's only by the.
That's a requirement of this project. Any other comments?
I just because this is a different sort of setup than we have typically done. You know, it's not a traditional IID process. This is the design review committee approved pad. Could you just walk us through, and it also addresses some of the public commentary about confusion about what happens next. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'd like you to kind of talk to us about what our next steps options are as a committee, and then what happens after that process. Is this similar to our role when we approve a project in IID? Is really approval that's goes to the director. Mm-hmm. There are still other steps that come. We are an advisory, more or less. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that true of this situation as well?
Yes. In this case, the design review committee is advisory to the PDSD director, just as in the case of an infill incentive district project. In this case, however, it's at a little bit different stage. So for an infill incentive district project, it is a quasi-entitlement project or process, you could say, because without an IID approval, their site utilization is very different. So the IID allows modifications to parking, to site development, etc. In this case, the entitlements are in place through the PAD. This is really a review of, is the design meeting the standards in the planned area development? It's basically advisory to, should this development package be approved? So it's a little bit further along, you could say, than in the case of IID projects. But it will be a recommendation to the director. And then, based on that, we will could approve the project, will inform sort of other aspects that we're looking at through the development package review stage. So things like the drainage and stormwater are issues that, as Elisa said, were kind of already on our radar. Exactly. Those technical requirements. What we really want the input from the committee on is the overall design of the project. And that's something that, because we have engineers on staff who can look at the drainage, we have other technical reviewers on staff, we're looking at those aspects. We don't have architects and designers on staff. So that's really the purpose of the design review committee.
So
does that help answer the question for Robin and others?
So we're approving this design, mm-hmm. or recommending approval,
yeah.
based on the criteria in the PAD.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I think to add to that, so the jewel wall, while it's a nice feature, isn't in strict compliance with the PAD.
We had a minor amendment to allow us at the ground floor to not articulate that facade to get our parking to work, but then above that, we maintained that requirement. But that was an adjustment we made in the design.
Yeah.
And this point in the process, those minor amendments are part of the approved PAD.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yep. So, we can't go back and question that process or that.
Those have been approved already. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
So we would like you to consider our project and today with the comments that have been made that can be attached to your approval that we could then bring to our development plan package, which is largely civil and landscape along with the comments that are made today so that we can continue to progress the project.
So I have another question. So would there be further review of the design of this project?
So usually what happens is that the design professional, Faye Tom, would review at certain stages to ensure that, for example, the actual building plans are in conformance with the design that were approved by this committee. So that's sort of how we check to make sure that through the life of the project we are meeting these design standards.
Would the committee have access to that information from Faye in terms of like if our changes that come?
Yeah, I mean, usually that would be online in Pro. Every building package submittal goes online, and the design reviewer comments would be entered into our online system. Mm-hmm. That's available to the public.
Mm-hmm. With our approval, we can make it a condition that then come back and show the final design.
That has been done, yeah.
I would enjoy that very much, actually.
I mean, there's, you're probably, what, a 50% phase here?
Well, we're in the entitlement phase, so, you know, essentially an entitlement package is a schematic design package, which has, you know, all the components of the project, has materiality, and that's what's missing is some of those thoughtful details, that art, you know, where's that artist that's going to come in and help us make this wall? Well, what does that look like, you know? And so then, you know, there's hours and hours and hours of work to do to finish this project, but we need your approval to continue, right, is essentially what I'm asking. Mm-hmm.
Things like the tall features, the stairs, you know, I think those actually concern me, what they end up being looking like. Because you look at some of the service treatments that happen on some of the towers, the student housing comes in there very often. So, you know, to be able to have some kind of a review process for those so that we can actually.
I think a project of this scale and magnitude, I would like to see it back to this committee. I think there's enough here that, I mean, we've given some direction in general, things that we can comment on in terms of the things that I had mentioned, and maybe I'll just state those things that I discussed and the team has responded to. Based on the presentation today, and that was that the, you know, this is a large scale project. Really, I think it's the largest thing we've seen that I can think of in this committee. And in the original presentation, all of the tower blocks as they articulated around, they do break up, but you couldn't read that at all in the way that the colors and the materials were rendered. And so the discussion that we had and the response back was to differentiate the towers in a way that you read those that mass geometry moves a little more elegantly, I guess I'd say. So that has been articulated, but at this level it's hard to know exactly how that reads until you see a little more to it. If this is a concept at SD level. So if that's an important piece to how it reads on the skyline and how it, you know, you do see this from vantage points as you've shown in your aerial. So I would like to see that back again. I'm just trying to process the pad piece because typically in our purview we have a little more ability to comment on those things, and I feel like we just can't, and that's fine. I mean, that's the rule, but it does make it a little difficult because I feel like we've come in a lot later in the process than we typically do, and that maybe that's some of the frustration that I have with being asked to be in a design review committee for something different than what we typically get to do. Mm-hmm. So as a committee member, it's been a little bit of a shift in how we think about it, and that's been somewhat challenging for me.
I think the pet is tighter. Yeah.
This was sort of a new trial. I don't think we'd done this before, having a PAD project go to the IID DRC for review. So, yeah, we're definitely something we're evaluating.
I'll comment about it, and this is just a comment. I don't think that you all need to address it, but if we're, as a committee, we're asked to be put in this position, mm-hmm. then I would just suggest that we also be asked to participate in the PAD. Mm-hmm. To be mm-hmm. not in the PAD development and then asked to be a part of the design review committee mm-hmm. is... I'm not speaking for anybody but myself. It's a little bit hard, of course.
Yeah.
So that's just my statement about it.
This is somewhat similar to the main gate overlay. You know, I'll just address the hotel where we did. Corn was involved in it. Mm-hmm. So what happened there is there was approval by the design review board, which is appointed, scheduled. And then there were, as the design got further developed, there were minor, we'll talk about the stairs, that's a great example. So that's not fully developed. So what happened was, it got approved with the caveat that any things like that came back for minor reviews, and there was give and take with the design review board. And then, so there were subsequent meetings. So, the overall design got approved. But and then it came back for the finishes, like the stairs and things like that you mentioned. And I think it came back twice. So, and then the design review professional, which is Rick in that case, it had to address it, wrote it up, and then it was discussed with the committee, and it was decided. So it was kind of mutually decided, back to what Robin said.
And I would just add, there's a lot of hard work that's gone on here at Gallo today. And while we're working within the rules we were given, and the PAD established the requirements from massing and zoning and scale of the project, and then we've addressed the context and the community interface of how this building fits into its neighborhood. And of course there's things to detail. When we're submitting for construction documents, it'll be done. But to withhold approval of the project and ask us to keep refining railing details is a bit much. I would debate with you.
I'm not sure anybody was suggesting that.
No, okay. I would love for us to say, hey, let's come back and share with you these certain aspects that we've talked about. Let's define them in the comments from staff and come back and share that with you so we can continue our good work.
I think that what you originally said. Yes. We're basically reviewing this for general compliance with the PAD. And recommending approval or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. That's correct.
So when it comes back to us, it's basically for us to review it. And does our feedback enter into this at all in terms of as we get further along in the project? Is it basically just for us to review what's the current status is?
So at this point, I think it depends what those aspects are. At this point, the next milestone is the development package approval. So once that development package is approved, then the building will actually be designed. So, I think that I know that the team would like to get through the development package approval so they can keep working on the site and the project. I think that would probably be the best stage to come back is when you're actually into the building design so that you can get into some of these details and get feedback from the committee. That would be my sense, just hearing some of the interest in more detailed architecture from the committee and also just knowing what that next milestone is for the project.
Okay. But I think it's important to find what we're actually coming back to represent. I mean, I don't think it should be that we got to come back and present this entire project again. I think that there's certain things that this DRC wants to see again because they aren't so defined. So they all.
I think we can do that.
Yeah, the metrics of the project are defined. We have so many parking spaces. We have an organizational plan.
Yeah, I think we can articulate that.
Yeah. But back to Faye's comment about percentage of shade and open space. Absolutely, development plan is going to require that before they approve us.
About the stairs, though.
And then there's the aesthetic detailing. I would love to spend more time on that.
Or how it reads, as far as the colorations and so on. And rough money. It's not the same.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we've shown you, we've shown you two very different ways to treat EFIS. But to do that, that's, a 80-hour design study. I mean, I want to do that.
I think we're clear on the process.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we did with the hotel, and it worked well.
So, committee members, any other comments before a motion comes forward?
One last comment. So basically, I think what we're approving is basically your site layout and footprint, and then potentially go back and visit some of the stuff. But I think more so is
trying to understand the full intent of the PAD, what kind of, like, you know, site, are you looking to do solar? Are you looking to do any kind of sustainable? You talked about the water harvesting, but are you talking...
We're not talking about multiple tanks.
That is some items that I think are critical to addressing some of the comments made by the public as far as storm drainage and that aspect. And I think that's something that I'm personally interested in saying, hey, if you're going to provide the landscape and you provide the pool, then how you provide the water to provide that. That's a sustainable element.
Development plan will require us to solve stormwater to their satisfaction.
Stormwater, but not necessarily rainwater, and how you address rainwater and...
Oh, rainwater.
And turn around.
Yeah, absolutely. I meant that by extension.
And reuse into the landscape.
Right.
Yeah, that's all that is approved by the
development plan. Well, and that's part of what we're saying, we're talking about with city staff, is that, all right, we're going to take a percentage of this water, and we're going to reclaim it and repurpose it as gray water to a project. The rest of it is going to have a control outflow into the city system. And because we can't take 37,000 gallons of water and keep it on our building, because that's a lot. And so, and that's a real number. I mean, it's so we have to work through that. And we're working on that.
If there are no more comments or questions.
I can take a stab at it.
I think you and Robin need to work together on a stab. So, John, you can edit it. And you can edit it.
I'm gonna come up with a stab and then get consensus because I probably missed something. So I'm going to put in my PESBs. In the manner of, what is this, DP something?
This is...
IID 1901, does that work for the record?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
you can
fine.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. The Design Review Committee recommends a conditional approval of Design Package Version 2, dated 11/5. But we'll require a behavior management plan approved and monitored by the city. We'll require vibration monitoring during demolition for adjoining historic structures, demolition and construction.
Noise?
We'll require a noise mitigation plan that complies with the PAD for all balconies and open amenity decks. And we'll at least provide transit options for all of its residents. I think we can also add in a traffic study at a later date to determine if additional maintenance.
That's actually in the PAD.
It's in the PAD, but I just want to make sure that it's followed up, so it's in our condition.
And it's has to happen 1 year after the issuance of the CEBO.
But we've never commented on the PAD, so I want to say, yes, we recommend that.
You recommend that, yeah, and it's in here. It's in
Also, I would like to add a bit of a revision to the revised circulation plan that requires signage at parking structures on the property to primarily direct most, if not all, traffic from at least the residential component to the north at 8th, and that certain things like left turn, right turn in, right turn only, and entering 5-mile-per-hour pedestrian zone be taken seriously, and to also work with TDOT to extend the median to prevent left-hand turn lanes on 4th Avenue to not compromise transit lines, and that any substantive changes or items such as we reject item 15, wire mesh, and request a further...
Noted.
a different version of a perforated screen that blocks light. And the EFS treatment of the stairwell towers should be brought back for a minor review. And we should also have take a stab at a final landscape plan that ensures locally appropriate plants and policies. And that all perimeter pedestrian lighting be increased
least as necessary.
Did it come back? Did it include coming back?
It does include coming back. Do you read it that way?
I would add something.
For all those?
Okay, sure. Minor reviews, yeah.
For all of those things.
Okay.
What's the other one you add?
Is it appropriate? And I don't want to state that all over again. But the minor reviews is just—it's not exactly what I was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to limit it to the idea that we're reviewing the development of the design as the concept's been presented when it's at an appropriate level, whether that's literally at your design development stage, so that we can see how those intentions are implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we revisit decisions already made, but that we see the implementation of the design intent.
And I would say that that's...
That would include what the materials really are, what the colors really are, what the detailing really is, the shade pieces really are, the landscape really is, et cetera. I mean,
final material sample board in real life.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So is that clear?
Okay. Yeah.
What's the other thing you did?
And that's not tied to the development plan, because we are approving this to move forward, so the development plan
is subsequent to that.
It is tied to the issuance of the building permit.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how it works. So that's not different than we have done in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a second yet, so I don't think we...
We're
just trying to see if we've got an okay motion to start with. Second, yeah, I know. Green, does that look like we complied with all the elements of the pad that we're allowed to put in and the comments so that we'll see the refinements as the project is allowed to move forward?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I guess I have one question about the perimeter lighting. Did you say perimeter lighting should be increased?
Yeah, they suggested they might do under soffits in areas and corners so that there is at least ambient light.
Let's ask for a photometric plan. Let's just call it that.
Okay.
And then we'll cover it. Because then we can show you the spec on the pedestrian scale lighting and all the lighting that are attached to the building.
That would also just be reviewed in the subscale.
That could be just
That's part of that.
Yep.
And the only other thing is that open space. Open space, shade calculations. And water will meet pad or staff approval.
Let's not read it back.
Well, I just want to make sure that there's clarity, so...
That's why they're recording.
Karn wants to read it back for the purposes of clarity. I'm happy to do that.
No, I think I'm just kidding.
We do have a second.
Second. Okay. So, can we have that motion read back to
the
committee, please?
So, I have that the committee recommends approval with the following conditions. That the applicant provide a behavioral management plan, that there is vibration monitoring during the demolition for the adjacent historic structures, that there is a noise mitigation plan for the amenity deck and balconies, that transit options are provided to the residents, that there's a transit study 1 year from CVO, as stated in the pad. Traffic study. Mm-hmm. That there is signage at the entrances and exits of the parking structures to generally direct traffic to 8th Street, so those signs would restrict turns as appropriate to direct traffic in that direction. That we work with TDOT to potentially extend the median on 4th Avenue to restrict left turns. And that the wire mesh is changed to a different type of perforated screen, if I have that right. Further refinement of the treatment of the stairwell towers? Mm-hmm. Not sure exactly.
That's perfect.
Okay, great. That there be a final landscape plan that incorporates local plantings, increase in the perimeter lighting through a photometric plan, or providing a photometric plan to the committee, and then that this any substantive changes receive a minor review, and that the project team returns to the committee to demonstrate the progression of the design before building plans are issued, and that that would include the final materials, colors, architectural details, shade, landscaping, etc., And then finally, that the open space shade calculations and stormwater drainage meet staff approval.
And PAD.
And PAD, yes, conform with the PAD.
That's everything I have as well.
Thank you. We have a motion. You've written back to us. I'm taking a vote. Please raise your hand. All those in favor?
Was there a second?
Yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the feedback.
Corin, I just mentioned to and to Wright about to make sure it's all detailed out. But also, remember on the graduate, there was a slip up. And staff was very, very good at taking what was finally decided and went through every single point. And there was one point that got missed.
Okay.
And staff brought it up and said, hey, we can't issue the building permit because we have to get this taken care of. And it was in the approval. So and staff has got a really good staff there, which is good. Because early on, that wasn't the case. And Chris and I and others had a very important experience on one of the.
So Nick, are you going to have this LAR out for us tomorrow?
Yeah. In a couple hours, actually. Just
stay tuned.
So we're still in session. Make us brief. Do we have any future agenda items?
I think the only one is 375 South Stone, which you had a courtesy review of earlier. That will be coming back for a formal review at some point. TBD.
Yeah, so after the next plans review subcommittee on the 14th of this month, we should have... we'll have that project in theory, and then a very, it's a major review, but it's probably the quickest review you'll have of your life here. It's a project on 4th Avenue. It's a new cidery moving in. The only addition to their building is a door on the side required for fire exit. So,
we get to design it.
They just you get to barely surpass the threshold to major review. For
that also is coming soon.
That's true. We still looking at the third week of November, the 18th?
So, so those two items are scheduled for plans review subcommittee. They'll need to get a recommendation of approval from them before moving forward to you all. So, if they both get that on the 14th, we'll look at maybe the third week of November to schedule another one. If not, early December.
Okay.
We will avoid holiday weeks.
I just have a comment.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a fan in the bus. I would like some time ahead of the meeting to get the materials. I mean, 24 hours is great. Mm-hmm. And I had the luxury of not having to participate in the first part of this meeting, so I could read the phase document.
Well, I would say that was more due to the developers and them getting their
Even
package back, and then Faye had to respond to that.
I tease Faye.
Yeah.
But if it's because of the developers, then bad on them, delay the meeting.
Mm-hmm. It's rough. Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, we don't, and I...
Just getting their package last night, I mean,
yeah.
There's just no way that I could have looked at it today.
And so I would...
I felt a little
yeah, it was at 4:58 last night.
Yeah. I would request the developers, let them know, we need the stuff a week ahead. If they don't, the meeting doesn't go forward until they get the stuff to us week ahead of meetings. And... it's rough on everybody. It's rough on Faye. It's rough on staff. It's rough on us trying to spend fine time to review it. So I know the city is anxious for development, but everybody's got a life to get in. So.
Only thing I'll say about that is thank God they did version 2 because version 1 sucked. I don't mind being on the recording.
Well, before I adjourn this meeting, I want to thank staff, design professional, and committee members for their participation today. Thank you.
Yes, thank you all.
Thanks, Faye. Maria's not here, but can we get these